So good to see you. So good to be together. To those visiting, we are grateful for you. And I know the Lord's pleased when we assemble to worship His name. So glad you're here. And those online also, we're glad you're here. This morning we're going to continue our study of the book of Ephesians. Hope you have your Bible open there to Ephesians 4. We'll cover the first six verses this morning. Title of the lesson, Walk Worthy of Your Calling. I don't know if you remember or not, but when we started the book, I introduced the book of Ephesians. And there were three progressions of faith that he brings us to. The first one, sit. The second one is walk. And the third one is stand. Each progression, your faith needs to come into active play. And so we need to learn first to sit, to enjoy the things that have been provided through the blessings of Jesus from God. If you look real quick at chapter 2, verse 6, he brings us and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. We needed to learn to sit, to listen to God, and to listen to the blessings that we have. And now that he's spent the first three chapters explaining what God has done for us through Jesus, we should have sat and brought all that in to give us focus. And now, the second phase of our faith, look at chapter 4, verse 1. Paul writes, Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. Now you need to walk. It's time to make some progress because of the blessings in Christ. You need to show some thankfulness. You need to show some appreciation by the way you walk, you conduct, and you live your life. Now we're ready for the next phase of our faith to take hold. And some real thankfulness, some appreciation. If you look there at verse 1 of chapter 4, he says, walk in a manner worthy of your calling. You see that word worthy? There's two ideas, two words used in that word worthy. One of them is weight. The other is balance. You need to weigh out the things that have been done for us in Christ, and that needs to have a balance and effect in your life. Let me show you this. If you'll come back with me to chapter 2. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. He says, And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That's what we were. Look at verse 2. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Notice where we walked previous. When you were dead in your trespasses and sins, you gave no thought to your walk. You gave no worth to what you were doing. You know what you did? You did what everyone else does. The world says, here's the new fads I want you to follow. We jump right on board and we just follow what everybody else says to do. We gave no value to what we were doing because we were dead. Dead people follow dead people. And here's what dead people do. Verse 3. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. dead people followed their own desires. And you know who was working all this in? He said there in verse 2, the spirit that's working in the sons of disobedience. When we were dead in our trespasses and sins, we walked according to Satan, to his power, to his authority. And so you never did give weight to what you were doing. We just did it. We just do our thing. How many of us thought when we were dead in our trespasses and sins about the things that we were doing, what it was costing us? We just did what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it. It doesn't matter who we hurt. It doesn't matter who we walked over the top of. Satan had control of us. And so that's what we did when we were dead. Look real quick at verse 4 of chapter 2. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. But God, because of his mercy and the love which he loved us, guess what he did? He made you alive together with Christ. So when Paul writes here in chapter 4, verse 1, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner that's worthy. I want you to weigh out what's happened to you, and now I need you to balance that in your life. What is the value of God's mercy and God's love? You need to walk in that balance. You need to walk in a worthy manner of the calling that you've been called to. Put some emphasis and appreciation to what God's done. That's what we all need to do. And so here we are when we were dead, and now we've been made alive. There's only one person that stands between you and God's judgment of condemnation, and that's Jesus Christ. You need to walk worthy of what you've been called into. You need to put some thought into your behavior, some thought into the actions, and walk worthy now of what you've been called into. And so that only means, look at verse 1 there again. Notice what he says. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk. Notice what Paul doesn't do. He doesn't say, I command you. No, he makes an appeal. It's a plea. Does it mean anything to you? I'm pleading with you. I'm appealing to you to walk in a manner. Let it have an effect on your life, on your behavior. Notice verse 2 of chapter 4. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Here he begins to explain what walking worthy means. With all humility, you got to be able to take instruction. Humility is to be laid low, where someone can teach you something. When you were dead in your trespasses and sins, Satan was the only one teaching you, do what you want to do on your terms when you want to do it. Satan had complete control of your life. Now you need some humility so you can walk in a manner that's worthy. Would you accept the teaching? Would you accept instruction from the Lord? And he says, with all humility and gentleness. Gentleness with patience. Gentleness. Be harmless. Don't be offensive to people. When you were dead in your trespasses and sins, how easy was it for us to blow up and just tell people what we thought of them? didn't give any thought to what we said, didn't give any thought to our behavior. See, you need some gentleness. Now you need to be instructed from the Lord. With gentleness, don't hurt other people. Be harmless. He says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience. You know what? Sometimes my brothers and sisters haven't arrived fully. They're on that path of walking. Sometimes you have to be patient with people. That means you don't have to correct every wrong that's going on. It's not up for you and I to correct everybody. You need to let Jesus do the correcting. You need to let Jesus grow people. All we need to do is be humble enough to take His instruction and use some gentleness, be patient. And then He says here, showing tolerance for one another. Some versions say, forbear. That's why you don't lord over people. You don't beat people over the head. You forbear with them. Give the Lord an opportunity to work on them. Sometimes when people are out of line, pray for them. Pray for them. Let the Lord do what He needs to do to them. Show some tolerance and love. And don't allow their wrongs and their hurts to affect you. You don't have to correct everything going on within the church. Let's continue on. Verse 3. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Be diligent. Here's something you need to work on. Diligence. Stay with this. What do we need to stay with? To preserve the unity of the Spirit. We're going to see what that is here in just a second. You and I, every single one of you in here in Christ Jesus, you need to make sure that you're being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit. And you say, well, what does that mean? Well, He's going to tell us, this is all part of walking worthy of our calling. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know what? Sometimes people hurt us, don't they? You ever had your feelings hurt? When people get their feelings hurt, you know what they do a lot of times? I'm not going back there. If that's what they call Christianity, I don't want to be a part of them. What are you being diligent about? You're being diligent about walking in your own stubbornness, walking in your lust, walking in the ways you did when you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Now we need to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit. What is that unity? He begins in verse 4 to show us. There are 7 aspects of the unity of the Spirit. And each aspect is going to start with the word one. What does the word one tell you? Multiple? One. Single. You and I need to pay attention to this and preserve this unity that the Spirit has. Verse 4. There is one body. How many bodies are there to the Lord? One. What does He mean when He says one body? This is the unity of the Spirit. Come back to chapter 1. Look at verse 22. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body. The church, which is His body. How many bodies are there? One. How many churches are there? Plurality? That's not preacher talk. That's the unity of the Spirit. There is only one body. There is only one church that Jesus is the head of. He's not over all the churches. There's one. I need to put forth some effort. I need to walk worthy of my calling, and I need to preserve the unity of one body. There's not multiple. There's one. Verse 4. There is one body. Today, what do we see? What church do you go to? That's what we're asked. Is there a such thing in the Spirit of God as denominations if there's one body? I need to be diligent to preserve one body. You know, when you look at churches, plurality, you look at it today, and you look out there, and you know what you see? Each one of them has their own headquarters. There is a northern headquarter to some. There's a southern headquarter to others. There's a headquarter in a city, a town, or a country. Not with one body. There's only one headquarters. And he's going to tell us that headquarters in just a second. When you listen to what the apostles wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, you know what the apostle John wrote? They went out from us, but they were really not of us. For if they had really been of us, they would not have left. But they left to show that they are not all of us. This is the Apostle John talking. One body. One body rallies around what the apostles brought in as the teaching. Notice the next aspect here in chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body and what? One Spirit. If you and I are going to preserve the unity of the Spirit, there's only one Spirit, and we need to pay attention. The Spirit of God never promotes many different ways to God. That did not come from one Spirit. No, when you go back and you look at John 16, where Jesus was talking to his apostles, he told his apostles, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, and He will guide you into all the truth. One Spirit from one God with one message of one body. And He's going to be the guiding factor into all the truth. Who are you paying attention to? One Spirit. There's not multiple directions. Spirit of God never taught that. And here Paul is trying to say, you need to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit. You need to walk worthy of your calling and preserve all of these things. There is one body and one Spirit. Just as also you were called, verse 4, in one hope. How many hopes did the Spirit present? How many hopes do people present today? There's only one way you're going to be saved. There's only one hope of one inheritance. And that's going to come from the Spirit of God. That's going to come from preserving the one body. One hope is not being financially sound. That should never give you hope. When you watch and listen, if you do, I hope you don't do it, but you listen to these TV preachers, you know what they're always telling their audience to do? The Lord wants you to support our ministry. If you'll give me your money, He'll bless your lives. That's a lie. Because that's not your hope. See, they're putting their hope into a false hope. Or a lot of times people say, your hope is that God promises you to always be healthy, wealthy, and wise. We're not always going to be healthy. Don't we know that? I'm sure you do. I know that. He does not promise that your hope to always be healthy. No, that's not the hope. The hope is not physical. One hope. Jesus Christ is the one that brought you to God. And God's mercy and love are extended to you through Jesus. That is our hope, no matter what happens on earth. He says, one hope of your calling. Look at verse 5. Excuse me. One Lord. Lord. Master. Owner. How many lords are there? There's one master. There's one owner. He is the owner of his body. He is the master in his body. You know, we as the elders here, we're not the master. All we do is try to make sure that the body here stays attached to the Lord. Because there's only one Lord. He's the owner of you. And you need to hold to him, and you need to hold to his instruction and to his teachings. Notice the next one. One faith. That's not faith in general, like what you believe. That is a doctrine that you believe in. You know what people don't like to hear today? There's only one teaching. There's only one faith. There's only one doctrine that the Lord promoted. There's only one doctrine the Holy Spirit promoted. When you go and you read places like Jude 3, Jude said, contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered, handed down to the saints. There was one teaching, one standard that was handed down from those apostles. You better be trying to find out and hold to that. You and I need to be diligent to preserve one teaching that came from the apostles. People say today, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you believe in God, as long as you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit did not promote that. The Lord did not promote that. And the Apostle Paul did not promote that. The Apostle John didn't promote that. The Apostle Peter didn't promote that. There is but one faith, one teaching. You and I have got to preserve that. We've got to be diligent and walk in that worthy manner to preserve that. Look right quick down at chapter 4, verse 13. Look at what Paul's going to tell us here. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith. What's the goal? You and I need to preserve this unity of the faith. We need to preserve the unity of the Spirit. We need to walk worthy of that. Come back to verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. By the writing of the book of Ephesians, 62 A.D., you know what the apostles taught? There's only one baptism. There's not multiple different baptisms. No, there's one. And Paul taught that exclusively. Romans chapter 6, we've referred to it often in the teaching of Ephesians, that you're baptized into Christ, you're baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and baptism was always immersion. There was never, ever taught in Scripture infant baptism. There was never taught in Scripture a different type of baptism. People say, well, you've got to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Paul didn't teach that. Peter didn't teach it. 1 Peter 3:21, Peter said that you and I, baptism now saves you. Not for the removal of dirt from your flesh, but an appeal to God for a clear conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what the apostles taught. That's what the Spirit told them to teach. There is one Spirit, one body, one teaching, one baptism, not multiple differences. And when you begin listening to everybody out there, what's everybody talking about? All these different type of things. You and I have got to preserve the unity of the Spirit. We've got to walk worthy of our calling by preserving that. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Look at verse 6. One God, one Father, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. One Father, one God. And you know who this God and this Father is over? He's over all those who preserve one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. He's the one God over them. He's in them and works with them only. That is who God works with. God's not in everybody. Everybody believes all these different things. And here the Apostle Paul is making it very well known. You need to walk in a worthy manner. And you need to preserve the unity of the Spirit. You need to have some humility, and you need to be diligent to preserve this. That's what we're called to do, and that's what we're calling on this morning. So, God is over those people. It is that factual. It is that promising. And I'm trying to tell you this morning, there's not multiple ways. Look at that term. One. One. Not two, not three, not your idea of what it is, not my idea. It's what was laid down by the Spirit of God, by the apostles, to teach and preach the things freely of God. This is walking worthy. If you leave out any of these ones and go a different direction, you are no longer walking worthy of your calling that you've been called. Let the Lord have some meaning. Let His truth have meaning in your life. And I pray we'll always hold to those things here in the body here. And I pray that you'll be diligent and you'll help me. You'll help the body here preserve all of this. You know, when you preserve something in canning, you don't want it ruined. All it takes is someone coming in and start promoting multiple other things. And we're headed down the wrong road. There's one. Be diligent to preserve that oneness. Have some humility. Don't run over the top of people. And give God the opportunity to grow people. And learn to be diligent to love one another. Let the Lord work. Let's preserve this oneness. And let's never leave it. I pray that's your goal. And that'll always be my goal. I pray that you'll always hold to that. Never leave this, brethren. This is vital. This is the only thing that will keep us on track. This will take you to eternity. It's the only thing that can. Paul wrote it. We need to believe it. The Spirit promoted it. We need to preserve it. We need to act upon this. And I pray you'll always hold to that. Let it work. Let it help. Let's walk with the Lord.